So for these past few weeks, we have been reflecting upon what it means and explore what it means that God is generous, that God is a generous God, that he's and that his generosity to us then impacts our life and shapes the way that we then are generous with our presence, and that we are generous then with the gospel of God to others. And we will continue to explore what that generosity, how that will impact our life. That what we're trying to do is just take Jesus at his word. That's what we're always trying to do, right? Just take Jesus at his word and to live as he wants us to live and to obey as he has taught us. So what does it mean really for us to truly follow Jesus as our King and to grow in our capacity of generosity, that as we experience the love of God? For what God wants is God wants loving people. He wants loving creatures that will join him in this generosity. But our sin and our rebellion and our disobedience, what that has done is it messes everything up. That we think and we act like we know what is best, right? That we know what is right, that we are we can do it better, we've got a better way. And so that the generosity that God is pouring out into us, we get cut off from it. And it doesn't really fully reach into our lives. And so we try to find other things to live on and to feed on and to be filled up with instead of God. And so what that ends up happening in our life is we become a big void and we suck everything into it. And so we will spend our lives by our performance and by the recognition that we get, by the things that we have, by even the ways in which we would even give of that money to others, try to meet a certain need in our life. That we are perpetually always just eating of the tree of good and evil. That we're constantly assessing everything and we're constantly judging everything and everyone around us. Constantly competing with each other for recognition and for acknowledgement. But we think there's only so much of that to go around. And so what do? When we think there's a limited resource, we compete and we fight and we jockey for position. And we try to put on the biggest display so that I can get some of that attention. Because I think that attention is what will give me life. We put on a big display and we boast. Just look at me, pay attention to me, someone just recognize me. The teachers of the law and the scribes, the Pharisees, they were putting on display before everyone, showing everyone that this is the best religious example. This is the best moral example to have. This is what it is to be a good person. This is what it is to be a close to God kind of person. They were displaying. They were then judging everyone around, saying, this is how you get life. Be like me. Pay attention to me. And Jesus points this all out, and he says, what might look nice on the outside, later he'll say about the scribe and the Pharisee, they look nice on the outside, but they are a whitewashed tomb. That is, they look pretty, but on the inside, it's just full of death. That display, the boasting, it gets in the way of God's generosity to us. Because I cannot give you all of the unsurpassable worth that you have been given by God. I can't do that if I am trying to get my worth out of you. If I'm trying to take something out of you, get recognition from you for myself, I can't treat you then with the generosity that God treats you with. And so we have that emptiness within us. And we are all prone to this. We are all prone to it. And we're clever at it. We're clever at it. And we find clever ways to do it. We rarely are so bold to go up to someone and just start boasting about how great we are. Maybe when we're little, we do it without much shame. But as we get older, we're a little more clever, right, about how we boast. And so we will talk about, you know, how busy I am. And how busy I am, that's kind of code for I'm important, okay? Or, you know, let's talk about, you know, this vacation you took. Well, we all know that that costs so much money. That's a way of saying, look how wealthy then, right, I am. Or we could talk about the jobs that we have and how important that must be. And without me, this place would fall apart, right? We kind of get clever, right, about those ways that we are boasting. And we find all kind of ways to work it into conversations so that people would recognize our greatness. Remember when, shameful if I can think of myself, way in which this I've lived that out. I was part of a ministry in New Jersey that was a music and arts program. And they tried to be very frugal and very efficient, right, in how they could do their programming and to be the best stewards of those resources and to give as much as they could. And they wouldn't do, you know, we wouldn't really do things that that we didn't really think were necessary, didn't really fit with the mission. That our budget, though, it got to be right under $1 million, okay? And I thought, oh, what if we just add one more little thing, right? Let's, you know, all we need is a little bit more, right? A little bit more, we can do a little bit more fundraising, and then we can say it's a $1 million thing, right? To say look how important that is. We're $1 million, right? We have this kind of way. Maybe you know your own way in which you boast about yourself. We want people to look at us. And we know that religious pride that we can have. You know, thinking of, look at all that I do. Look at how important I am into this church. I have this gift. I give in this way. I want that recognition. You know, with that religious boasting, we're not even that subtle, right, about how good I am. Jesus sees through all of that. Jesus sees through the boasting and the display. He sees the Pharisees and the scribes as what they are, as people that are always looking for recognition. And sadly, they go not only from boasting, of saying, just look at me, but they go to arrogance, to believe their own boast, that they really are the best thing out there. That arrogance, that my desire comes first. Or that my ideas are the most important ideas. My cause is so important that it's worth fighting for. It's even worth killing for. Boasting, arrogance, it blocks the flow of God's generosity to us. It makes it impossible for us to treat others with the great worth that God gives to them. To be generous of that worth. It is only in humility, it's only in humility that we begin to discover and can experience God's generosity. When we draw near to God, cleansing our hearts and hands in the blood of Jesus with mourning and humility, it is then that God draws near to us. Again, James continues later in James 4, he'll say, God gives us more gifts, more grace. For God opposes the proud, but shows his favor to the humble. What does that look like? What does it look like that God favors the humble? What does it look like that God gives his more grace to us as we draw near to him? Well, it looks like this widow. Jesus sees this woman that no one else would know. No one else would pay attention to her. She would have been a drain on her family, if she even had any. Would have been a drain on the community. No one would want to be like her. No one would have cared about her. She had nothing to display, nothing to be boastful about, nothing to be arrogant about. But Jesus sees her while everyone else is paying attention to everyone else, throwing in their big amounts of money. What does she do? She puts in a penny. She puts in a penny. That penny would have made no difference to anyone. It would have meant nothing. It would not have paid for one offering. It would not have helped pay for the priest. It wouldn't have helped any kind of building project. It would have been good for nothing. No one would have cared if she kept it to herself. Maybe they would even prefer her to keep it to herself so we didn't have to count it. Right? She, though, gave everything, Jesus says. She gave everything, she gave all that she had, for she began in a place of a generous humility. Humility. Humility is not thinking, you know, less about yourself. Like, oh, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. I'm garbage. I'm nothing at all. Right? It's not that. That's not being humble. Being humble is just thinking about yourself less. You know, less often. That's not the first thought that comes to your mind is yourself. It's looking away from yourself to other people is being humble. It's a generosity of our focus. You see, how do we know what humility is? We look to God. We look to God in his humility. The writer of Hebrews tells us this. He says that Christ has entered into heaven itself to appear before the presence of God. He does it on your behalf. To offer himself one time, this one grand time with his own blood, once for all, for all sin, for all have sinned, and by the sacrifice of himself on that last day, he will bring a final rescue to everyone who trusts in him. You see, how do I know God is humble? God is a very humble God. How do I know it? I know it by what he has done, that he has given himself for us. What he has done in real time, in a real place, in real history, that's how we know he is humble. It is not that Jesus didn't think that he was anything worth anything. Jesus knew who he was. He knew he is the very Son of God. But he did not see that as something to grasp as for himself. But he gave himself. He gave himself humbly, thinking not about himself, but thinking about you and thinking about us. He gave himself up for all. To help us see what this is a little bit more, I want us to think about a black hole. A black hole. And maybe you didn't think about, you know, astronomy this morning, right? But a black hole. A black hole is this some dense thing out in the universe, right? No one's ever seen them, but we know that they're there. It's this super dense thing that sucks everything into it. That nothing can escape it, a black hole. It's so strong, its gravity, that it pulls in even light. Nothing can escape. Its force is so strong that as things get close to it, it obliterates everything. It pulls apart molecules and atoms and electrons from their nucleus, and the very fabric of the universe just kind of gets pulled apart. It's chaos, it's destruction at a black hole. So you have black holes. On the other end of that, I would like to think of something else. A cell. We all have cells in our body, living cells. Everything living has a cell. They make up our organs and brains and skin and, right, everything. A cell. A black hole pulls everything and destroys it. That's how a black hole continues to be. A cell, this living thing, it will divide and make more of itself. It gives of its own energy to make another cell. And it just continues to go and go and go. A cell, when it divides, it doesn't die and just get itself up and just disappear. It's only by giving of its own self that it makes more, that it is what it really is meant to be. With a cell, it is not a zero-sum game. It becomes more as it gives itself away. Life is generated because it gives itself away. It's the opposite, right, of a black hole. See, if my connection to you, right, if my connection to you is this, is that I'm going to benefit from you, I'm going to suck something out of you, and I'm thinking, what am I going to get out of this relationship? What do you have to offer me? If that's what I'm doing, I'm trying to find my meaning and life and purpose out of you. And odds are that is not going to last very long, because I'll just have sucked everything out of you. But the way of Jesus is different. It's a way that is a commitment that is driven out of this inner life of thinking about myself less, less often. To begin with humility, living out of that humble generosity of God's love. This is the paradox of God's love, is that the more that I give of myself away to other people, that the more generous that I am with everything, the more I become fully human. It's the more that I discover myself. And so when I come across someone and, you know, and you've got something really good going on in your life right now, and something great happens in your life, that for your sake, no matter what is going on in my life, I rejoice with you. Rejoice with you for what's happening in your life. That's one way that we are humble generosity. That humble generosity, it's not a black hole. Because a black hole just sucks everything into itself. It has an inability to rejoice with others. Because when we see someone else that's having something good going on in their life, all that does, if I'm a black hole kind of person, is that just shows that I don't have that. And I get angry. And I feel bad about myself. And so I'll do anything I can to make sure that you don't have it. And I can bring it back into my own life. And the world can be torture for people that are black holes. Because every good thing exposes that emptiness in our own heart. But a humble generosity has this capacity to be joyful and to rejoice with others, even though that isn't happening for me. And that extends into other areas. It extends into the way that we use of our finances. We are humble with our resource. Like this widow. She does not draw attention to herself. Simply has an open hand. That we can see that the resources that we have, all that has been given, is not finite. It's not a limited amount. It's not a zero-sum game that we have to grab it and hold on to and suck it all into ourselves, that we can have an open hand, that we can be like a cell, that we can multiply, and we can divide, and that the more that we give, the more that we are. It's not the more that we have, it's the more that we are by the more that we give, the more life there is in the world. Today, as we come forward to the Lord's Supper, let us pray about the kind of people that we are. Let's confess the things that we need to confess, whatever it might be. To confess those things, to dream, to pray, to imagine what we could be. The kind of people that God is calling us to be in the name of Jesus. Think about this last week. Think about the kind of the people that you lost your patience with. Those that you were unkind to this past week. Think about those people this week that their good fortune you were just unable to rejoice with them in. Because you're just so self-focused. Who did you talk about yourself too much with this week? Who do you think you're better than simply because you are in a different situation? Who did you treat with such contempt that you violated their dignity? Who did you ignore this week of their priorities so that you could prioritize yourself and your ideas? Who did you lose your temper with when they didn't think your thing was the most important thing? Who are you bitter and resentful with now? Just be honest, right? This is the time as we come to the supper of the Lord is just to be honest about these things, these patterns in our life, the patterns of our behavior, the patterns of our thinking, the ways that we regard people, the ways that we treat other people, those ways that are not beautiful. This is the time to just to reflect upon those things. But Jesus is beautiful. He is. And the way that he spoke and the way that he treated people was beautiful. And so we all need to be changed. We all need that. As we celebrate the truth of God's humility to us. That even in light of our deepest flaws and our failures, Jesus remains utterly committed to you, to create new life in you, a new reality, a new possibility, new capacity to have his humbleness that would lead to a generosity within us. And in his name, amen. Now may a peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it guard our hearts and minds in this true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.